they can be there for you, and that'll make a big difference. In Job chapter number 5, we are discussing what are you to do when everything falls apart in your life. We have determined that Job is experiencing some unwanted misery in his life. There's sometimes no way to avoid the conflicts that we face in life. And in doing so, I have at least three main categories that I have outlined this text that I want to preach tonight, and they are as follows. The first seven verses deal with the challenge Job faces. The challenge that Job experiences, or the challenge that Job encounters. There's a catastrophe going on in Job's life. There's a trial that Job's having problems finding human words to talk about. There's an obstacle that's in his way. He can't get around it. He can't go over it, and he can't find a way underneath it. But I'm glad when times like that happen, God does not forsake his children. Then I see in verse number 8 the criticism of Job's friends, the assessment of his colleagues, the discussion of his comrades, the remarks of his companions, the recommendations of his associates. All of these categorically fall in the form of people that think they have the answer. And I don't know if I can get there tonight, but the consolation Job finds, verse 9 through 17. There's comfort that he treasures. There's encouragement that he discovers. And I'm here to tell you tonight, when you come to a time that you need assistance, God will be there for you. When you need support, he'll help you. When you need satisfaction, he'll give it to you. I want you to stand if you're able tonight. I'm going to read from verse number 7, maybe verse number 8, verse number 9, verse number 10, and I'll try to stop there. Well, I got to read verse number 11, and hopefully that'll be the end of it, at least for right now. Job chapter 5, verse 7, if you found it, would you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Now we believe that Job is in conversation. His friends are not only watching, but one of them in particular is conversing with him, I think. Now notice in verse number 9, not only did he describe that Job ought to run to God, notice he encourages Job whether he realized it or not, because he begins to talk about the Lord. You ain't never done anything more beneficial than start talking about God. He'll unlock doors that's been closed a long time. And when God starts opening up doors of insight and illumination, it'll do something to the people that are listening. Notice what it does. He said, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields to set up on high those that be low. Wonder why he had made such statements like that. Job needed to hear what was being said. Now, whether it was in sarcasm or not, I do not know. But I do know one thing, that God can take what I say that might be messed up and bring some good out of it. You don't always have to have it all together for God to make good out of it. Amen. I know that's right. That those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. You can be seated. I read one more in spite of it. What I think that Job needed to hear was somebody to center what they have to say upon the Lord himself. Trouble seems to bring out something in our lives sometimes that nothing else brings out. Times when we need to see God's hand, we have trouble finding him. Well, I want you to notice tonight that when everything falls to pieces, God's always stable. never is nervous about any one situation, never has been without a mindset as to what will be his next move. He is premeditated in all that he does. He does everything as it's ordained of holiness. Don't ever do anything with ungodliness. Everything he does is from the spirit of holiness. Now I want you to notice in verse number 7, Job makes a very big statement, or at least now there is a sign that regardless of who is speaking, it's a mighty big statement. Verse number 7, he said, "Yet man is born unto trouble." We try to make some kind of statement about how did we survive to get here? Only by the good grace of God. And in getting here, it is not without a prize. Every person that breathes will face problems, will face trouble, will face decay. And the sooner that you and I can come to grips with that, the better off we're going to be. I want to say tonight that I must know what I was born into. This world God created, and it was good because he said it was. Man had nothing, and the Bible said God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. So everything God did, he did right. But there's two or three things that Job is about to embrace. First of all, he's about to embrace the wearisome efforts that every human being faces. Mind you, he's not just any human being. He is God's by ownership. He belongs to the Lord of glory. The truth is, in the silent conversation between the devil and God himself, God gave the devil rights to walk in and begin to maneuver Job's life. But I want to tell you, everything he ever did, he had to get approval to do it. He couldn't do one thing. By the way, if it was that way in the Old Testament, it must be even much greater in the day we live in right now. Notice the challenge Job faces. It is a calamity of experience. I wish I could tell you tonight that everything's ever happened to me has been good, but I said the other night that would be a lie. It just don't happen that way. The first thing that is pointed out now, first of all, is something about man. And when he's birthed into this world, he is birthed into trouble. I did a little research. I found out that that word for trouble describes the wearisome effort that a breathing creature goes through. It's the toil that grinds away within his person. It's sometimes the grief that settles in his spirit. It's sometimes the sorrow that confronts him in his daily journey. Sometimes it just takes God to get us to the place that we're willing to give him the trouble that he already knows is evident in our life. I want to say tonight that when the Bible said man is born under trouble, as the sparks fly upward, he knew exactly what he was talking about. I'll tell you something. I don't know how this thing's going to wind up. I don't even know where it's going, but I know where I wind up. And that's what matters. By the way, Job knew that too. He said, "Whether I live or die, it's for God." He said, "Naked I came into this world, it's for sure I can take nothing with me. Live or die, I'm a winner either way." I want to tell you, God knows exactly what it's going to take to help his children. So he wants us to be mindful of the earthly pilgrimage. He wants us to know what kind of battle we're in. Now, God didn't say what he said because he didn't know. He said what he said because Job and Eliphaz didn't know. Has God ever revealed anything to you that you didn't know? I want to say tonight, I think it's real clear. I think that it's real evident that we need God when our life starts to fall apart and it's coming loose at the seams. Not only can I be mindful of the catastrophe he encounters and the calamity that he experiences, I am mindful of the criticism of his friends. I'm reminded of the assessment of his colleagues. We got to be careful about what kind of an assessment we make on the lives of people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, every time I stand to preach, I use the Bible as my guide. I use the Bible as my eyes. I use the Bible as my light. And the light and the Bible as a guide will reveal to us who we are without question. In verse number 8 now, the Bible says, I would seek unto God and unto I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Eliphaz, I think now, it is meaning well. I think that it's very crystal clear that he recommends that Job do something with his problems. Now, I think there's three areas that he does this. And number one, I want you to understand that he recommends that Job run to God with his problems. Do you understand running to God was good counsel? I try to tell people every day, you know, you can't handle things that's wrong in your life. Neither can I, but I know a God up in heaven that's conducting business on earth, and there's no problem with the Lord taking care of his children. I want you to notice, not only does Eliphaz recommend that Job give his problems to God, him being the right person, I believe he recommends him because he's the best person. But I'm going one step deeper. I believe he recommends him because he's the only person.
Amen.
I don't know. I can't prove this. The Bible doesn't say any more than what we read right here, but I believe it's crystal clear. You don't have to have somebody in some other land, some other country, to tell you what this Bible means. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Spirit that lives on the inside of you, he'll show you what you need to see. Number one, Job had to come to the point in his life that he knew without any question that God was the only person with an adequate answer. How many times we felt let down? We went to somebody we had a lot of confidence in. Maybe it was the preacher. Maybe it was the Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was our best friend. But deep down inside of us, we thought then they always had the answer. And all of a sudden, we hit a roadblock. Things began to crumble in front of us. We couldn't get around what was happening in our life. And then when we went back to the quietness of our own life, we thought they failed me. Man, they were always encouraging me. What happened? Nothing happened to them. What happened was something happened to you. Now, what Eliphaz is about to do is to unlock another room that has been shut down. I want to tell you, advice was properly given in verse number 8. Now, let's deal with it as it is outlined in the text. First of all, he said, I would seek unto God. The one thing that Eliphaz, whether he realized it or not, said from his own mouth was, Job, I think I know what you need to do. But now, it's amazing how sometimes people can recommend something for somebody else that they can't take as preaching for their own life. You know, it wasn't on Eliphaz that God gave the rights to the devil to go at him. It was Job. Now, the word there that he uses for seek is the Hebrew word that we get our English word pursuit from. He said, what you need to do, Job, is you need to start looking for God. Now, I'll tell you something. Somebody as big as God is, you shouldn't have any trouble finding it.
Amen.
I've never met anybody yet, listen to me, that desired to find God that couldn't find him. They might have been looking for one answer. God don't give man the answer that he merely wants. He gives him the answer that lines up with his providence.
Amen.
I told someone on the phone this week, they were talking about praying. I said, I've come to a big conclusion. They said, what? I said, God answers every prayer. Every prayer that is lined up with his providence, he answers it. The thing that I guard in my life is trying to find out that what I pray coincides with what God and the power of the Holy Spirit desires. I want to tell you what I know from my heart and what I know from serving God is that when everything falls to pieces, I'm glad I can run 110% in pursuit of God, and it'll be the right place to go. Not only do you recommend that Job get in pursuit of God, He inquired of Job that he might inquire of God. You know, Job, I think it's pretty evident now. We're your friends. We profess to be your friends. But I think now, whether they realize it or not, what they were saying was exactly what needed to be said in some sense of the word. Number one, Job needed to understand that none of his buddies had the answer. Boy, that's what we need to get. People in your life can actually love you and not have answers for you. People in your life can care for you, but not be able to do anything for you. There is a human restraint in the lives of people that the Bible clearly defines can only be used for God Himself by His own enabling. God lined things up. He said, Job, I would seek unto God. Now, I found out something that I didn't know. There are several words that in the Hebrew language is used for God. The first word used for God is made up of two English letters. It's the word El, E-L. And it describes a certain element or characteristics of God that we oftentimes forget and lay aside. The word that is used there in El is a word descriptive of God in strength and power. I think it goes something like this. Job, do you think you could use a little help? And in the background, the echo is, yep, I could really use some help. I'd like to have the strength of God in my life. Job, have you gotten a little weak? The English word is a word for being strong. Job might have been washed up, might have been bound down, but God was still strong and God was still mighty. Not only does it mean that He is strong and still strength, it means He is complete power. I like to have something that'll do the job. You can always tell, boy, I don't know. I've always enjoyed a lot of horsepower under the hood. I don't know. There's just some kind of demand internally in my life to get it. Boy, I want to tell you, if you ever set in something that'll really take you for a ride, it's hard to forget it. You know what? That's why every once in a while I just like to drive that old Cadillac. It's got that North Star motor in it, and boy, that thing will really run. I mean, it'll burn them. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, you can gouge on it, boy, and it'll set you back in the seat. I can ride up by these little boys, got them little Mustangs. They think some. I can suck that thing up before they get to the next light. I'm here to tell you what I see God is more than qualified to fix what's wrong in Job's life. That's the first part, but there's a second part to it. He said, I would seek unto God and unto God. Different word. The word for God there now in the Hebrew language is a word that describes God as the Elohim. Another characteristic of our God. He is the mighty God. He's the exceeding God. Don't matter what's got me bound up, He's more than that. Isn't that good? I want to tell you, when everything's falling to pieces, it's good to know that God's still in charge. When everything's gone crazy and haywire, it's good to know that God's in charge. Amen. I'm glad I hadn't forgot who my Lord is. I think more than anything else, praise God, them Hebrew words reminded them Old Testament patriarchs that God was God and beside Him there's none other. Face to face with the great mighty God, the supreme God. Notice the way it's worded in verse number 8. If you're with me, say amen. He said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I what? Say what? Commit my cause. Now, you don't get it, but I'm going to see that you get it. That word, commit, is the word in the Hebrew language where we get our English word, lay down on. Oh, hey, Brother Keith, this about turned me upside down right here. You know what he was saying, Job? What you need to do is just lay it all down on the Lord. You know, the old timers, that's how they prayed it. They said, bless God, just give it all to Jesus. They didn't just wiggle around on people's hands and try to play with them. praise God, they'd come to the altar and they'd just about beat them on the back. And
yes, sir.
They'd pray. They weren't ashamed to pray over them.
No, sir. Get down to business. Amen.
I'll tell you something. You won't have to beg a person that's under a burden to lay it all down.
Amen.
I mean, they're a candidate, buddy. They are now a prime candidate for laying down their problems. Secondly, it not only means to lay down your problems, it means to hold to one that can help you.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you something tonight. Y'all with me? You with me? If I needed a plumbing specialist tonight, I'd call you. Because I believe you do your job and you do it well. You see? It's pretty evident. I mean, if he ever does any work for you, buddy, you don't go behind him. I mean, he does it right the first time.
Amen.
He goes the extra step. I mean, he goes so far. I mean, when he gets to working with me, I get real nervous. I mean, Lord help. I mean, he don't play around. Boy, if it's got dust or whatever, clean her off. Start from the ground up.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know why he's like that? Because he's seen things before.
Yes, sir.
If you let a little bit of this go and a little bit of that go, before you know it, you're right back where you started. You're torn down again.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Fella told me just, a couple months ago or whenever it was, we repaired the air conditioner. We went out here and I stood around while he was there. And you know, I'm about a half a card better off than they think I am. I'm not totally ignorant and totally stupid. I know a little bit about everything. That's why I'm so dangerous.
Yeah.
I try to read a little. But I can tell you when he goes to putting a meter on, them boys don't think I can. I know what they're doing when they take that meter out and when they start reading on. I ain't stupid. Mm-hmm. I can read a little bit. And I started watching and I already had suspected what was wrong, and I was waiting for him to get it because he's got 25 years of experience in that area. And he piddled around this and piddled around that, and he never was. And man, I was just digging like a dog in the mud. And I was thinking, won't you get on over here to this box right here? Here's the problem right here. I mean, doesn't seem the wires. I mean, I could tell they's corroded and it got so bad that they arced themselves, and when they arced, it broke the connector completely loose. I done seen it. I done knowed what it was. I was waiting for him to tell me. He's an expert. Now, there's one or two things you got to understand. A man that does that, and he's a specialist in it, you don't want to open your mouth too soon. Because all you're going to do is get in his way. So I just remained silent. Well, that's a hard thing for this preacher to do. And I did. And all of a sudden, he touched that wire. And he said, well, I done seen that a long time ago. He said, And he started doing that, and I wouldn't say a thing. I done seen what he's going to do. I knew where he was headed. I thought, bless God, wonder if he's got one of them on the truck. That's the problem right there. I mean, I'd been examining that. Now, I didn't put no meter on no capacitor, but I can look at one a lot of times, and you can tell if it's been burned or something like that, there's a giveaway. Don't mean it's true, and they got to read a certain voltage when you do it. Well, they started telling me all this stuff. I done knew that one part has got to be replaced. I thought, bless God, Freedom Baptist Church needs to replace it. He started putting the... put the capacitor under load. And if it's deficient more than 3% or 6% under heavy load, it'll break it down. We could be right back where we started again. You'd know that. Well, I was waiting. I was nervous. I mean, under God, these old boys that do what they do, I mean, I'm thinking, boy, this is going to really cost something right here. Wonder what it's going to be. And what I did, I told him to start with. I knew what it was going to cost this church for him just to come and examine this thing. So I said, once he found out what was all wrong, I said, well, what does it take? He said, we need to do this. And he said, now, preacher, I put this on this. And he was telling the truth. I read it. And he said, this thing right here, it shows that it's good, but it's not up to where it ought to be. And the chances are I might be back out here. I said, you got one of them? He said, got one on the truck. I said, you need to put it on there.
That's right.
We went through three or four of them little old pieces, come to find out $297. But in my opinion, it was $297 well spent. We could have replaced one piece, knowing that something else was weak over here that hadn't been dealt with, that's going to show its face before the summer's out. Folks, I'm going to tell you, life is a lot like that. When you know deep down inside You got something right in front of you, you know it's a problem, but you also know what's deep down inside of there that is a questionable problem, and you don't want to mess with that. Do you understand what he just spoke to Job about? He said, Job, what you've got to do, you got to lay it all down on God. You got to bring it all to the Lord. You got to hold God to who he is. What's a good place, ain't it? Now, notice what happened. He said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. It's a little different word, cause, than what we would think in the English language on one particular terminology. When you deal with the word cause, in the surface mindset, it would describe the reasoning. And that's fine. But I found another word I didn't really know, and it was the word suit. As this, Job had justifiable reason to talk to the Lord over it. Hey, by the way, in case no one told you today, if there's any concern in your life, it's a concern to God. Amen. I want to tell you, God lined it up that way. That's just the way it is. I know I've got to hurry, but just hang on for just a minute. I want to say tonight, there's providence. And the mind of God, the providence of God and the mind of God, it always tips the scales of the human life. But I want to go one step deeper. The power and the word of God always tips the scales. Oh, boy, I'm glad I got somebody that taking good care of me. Now, I wound up finally digging so far in, I traced the word for cause, and I found out it means the matter before, the business or the cares of concern, the questions reported, and each of those things became a concern to me. And after he said all that, he just turned and looked straight up toward God, and this is what he said. He said, which doeth great things. Well, can I ask you, what did Job need? He needed somebody to do something. He needed some great help. He needed somebody that specialized in exactly what God was known for doing. Hey, by the way, I can take you all the way through the scriptures. I can show you how great the things he did. He was great in Abraham's life when he took that boy Isaac to Mount Moriah. Yes, sir, and he laid that boy down there and drew back that knife to cut that boy up. Yes. And he was stopped. Yes, sir. He was great when they came to the crossing of that Red Sea. And she needed parting, and God parted it. Amen. Yes, sir. He was great when Elijah stood before the prophets of Baal. Hundreds of them. You said, what does that mean? It means he's outnumbered. He's outvoiced. But you know what? Ain't nobody outnumbers God.
Amen.
Boy, I want to tell you right now, he said God was a great God. He doeth great. Now, there's three or four things, and I'm just going to have to do this and leave you, okay? Number one, he uses the word in verse number 9, which doeth great things. The word doeth is the English word that we get from the Hebrew word that means accomplish. Amen. That's what God does. God don't start nothing. God finishes it. Huh? Man, I'll tell you something. The biggest challenge you'll ever have is start something and finish it. Man, you know what? I was all excited. We got this new refrigerator. It looks good. Y'all ought to see it. And I thought, oh, praise God. Can't wait to get that thing in. And you know what? I got that thing up on my trailer. Didn't have no trouble. But when I came out here and started in that door, guess what? It wouldn't fit. Well, that'll mess your day up right there. First thing I thought, well, go to the toolbox. Praise God. Get you a wrench. Take the doors off. I mean, isn't it amazing to take a brand new refrigerator and have to take it apart? Well, I got to look at it, and I thought, well, which way to do the least damage? But you always have to do something till you find out, well, that wasn't reasonable. Just go back. Yeah. And I took the handles off, and I thought, oh, God, that's good. Wrap that thing up, didn't we, Brother Barry? And, man, I said, let's move her real easy. I mean, bless God, I don't have to have room enough to get a Volkswagen through there. I just got to have room enough to get that double-door refrigerator through there. And guess what? I got just enough. You said, well, you're fussing about it. No, I'm glad it's in place.
Amen.
And I just want you to know that Job, when he looked at God and they began to talk about the Lord, they talked about somebody that had a record of accomplishment. Secondly, he had a record of appointment.
Yes, sir.
You see,
yes, sir.
See,
amen.
That Bible's not an accident book.
Amen.
Out of all the books, you know, this is the book they got a big problem with. They can't. They have trouble dating up right here. They got trouble. They just, it is so far back, they have trouble with it. Hey, I don't have no trouble with it. I just believe it's part of the book.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's
well, if you just take the basic level knowledge of a Christian, you don't really see conversation with anybody else that goes like it goes in Job. Just know. So that's pretty way back here, ain't it? All right, I might be just about that much smarter I'm acting like. He said, not only doeth, in verse number 9, which doeth great things, did it mean his accomplishments, his appointments. He is describing his advancements. This is what God was using to take Job places he never took him before. But see, what he said was not only influencing Job, it's going to influence every person that ever reads it.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
An Old Testament book.
Yes, sir.
It's influencing. I said, think about it. It's going to influence every person that reads it.
Right.
Do you know why we're in a fix in our churches? People don't read this book. Now, you get excited. I watch it. It's all over your face.
Amen.
I can tell, boy, you give yourself away instantly. When I hit something and it's like, you can see the light come on. Your eyes go to dancing. Your whole facial expressions change. That's good to me.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, I learned to read body language. That's why I don't preach with my face turned down in that book. I will connect with you.
Amen.
I want to see what the Holy Ghost is doing with you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I see, and I don't mean this bad, but some guys look at the wall or like a spider web or something, and I don't like to do that. And man preaches to me, I want them to look at me.
Yes, sir.
I tell people when they sing, I tell Adrian all the time, the way I like to sing is learn the words so that when it comes time to sing, I can look in the face of the people. Listen, we're not just singing to satisfy the ears of the hearer.
Amen.
We're singing to glorify God.
Amen.
That he may take that.
Amen.
And touch the ears of the hearer.
Amen.
Now, I'm concluding. Three things that we need to be mindful of tonight when things are falling apart. God is great. He doeth great. He's known for his advancement.
Amen.
He's known for his accomplishments. And he's known for his appointments.
Amen.
He's got an appointment with you. And he's got an appointment with me.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray, please. Our Father, I say thank you tonight for helping me. Lord, you know exactly what was in front of me. I'm always concerned when I come to this pulpit, but I'm not only spiritually desiring for you to meet me, but knowing that physically I needed you, and I thank you for helping me. Thank you for giving me the wind pressure to preach tonight. A lot of times people don't really know what it takes to do what needs to be done sometimes, and I just thank you for being real to me tonight. I pray you take the hearts and lives of these people who are in this room, and you go from this room to where they live and the day that they serve in and make yourself known to them so they'll stay faithful to you. And we'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate it. Boy, I like preaching like this. I tell you right now, I'd rather preach like this and eat when I'm hungry. And I guarantee you, I like to eat. And I plan on eating more when I get my appetite back. Amen. All right, I want to encourage you to be in Sunday school Sunday morning. Be prayerful. A lot of things that would need